You are Locked On Syracuse, your daily podcast on the Syracuse Orange, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome on in. It's another week here on the Locked On Syracuse podcast. Tyler Rocky, Tim Leonard, the only place that has you all 5 days of the week talking all things Syracuse. And Tim, we've got a lot to do today because Peach Jam in full swing. We're going to talk about some of Syracuse's prospects, including one guy who I am elevating to the top of my wish list after this week of Peach Jam.
Wow.
And also, it's time for some football positional previews as well. We're going to start that, a little bit of a different twist on it this year. So we will have that for you at the end of the show. So if you're a big football guy, be sure to be locked in for the entire episode today. Also, want to remind you that the NBA draft guru Chad Ford, Locked On NBA draft host Rafael Barlow, and Locked On NBA host John Corrales will be live this year covering the NBA draft. It's Locked On NBA Draft 2021, brought to you by Built Bar. Get local expert analysis on each pick. Follow Locked On NBA on YouTube today and watch our live coverage on July 29th at 7 p.m. Eastern. Who knows? They might be talking about Alan Griffin for that.
A little bit later on in the week.
He's definitely getting a lot more active with that stuff. So be sure to check that out. The live shows that Locked On puts on are fantastic. So be sure, Tim and I have each, I believe, been a part of one or two in the past. So be sure to check all that stuff out. Also find us on Twitter at @LO_Syracuse. Always tweeting out some fun stuff for you guys there on the account. So Peach Jam in full swing. This is where you really start to see the rankings shift a little bit each summer, and I think in particular this summer, because of the fact that COVID-19 struck, you didn't have the full AAU circuit from a season ago, some guys didn't have their high school seasons. We kind of highlighted that with Peter Carey, a guy who, I mean, that guy has not caught a break in terms of what being able to go out there and be on the floor. But a number of Syracuse guys have really put on some nice shows, and by guys, I mean targets, commits, all that stuff, everything in between. But one guy in particular has been outstanding, and he's getting a lot more love and buzz. You know him if you're a Syracuse native. It's J.J. Starling. And the way that he has showed up at these tournaments and kind of risen through the ranks, he's up about 20 spots since January. He is a bona fide top 50 guy right now. And to me, this is priority number one right now. I know you're in a heated competition with a number of other schools that are going to eventually offer him, but this is a guards game, and I think he has to be the priority guy for the rest of the class.
He's been great during Peach Jam, and I think basically the dumbed-down version of Peach Jam so far, J.J. Starling stock way up, Kamari Land stock up. He did have a rough game yesterday on Sunday. As of us recording this, I think he was 1-for-9, which is 3 points the other day. But still, he's been very good as the leading guy for Team Why Not, which is great to see. If anything, his ranking should go up. The Syracuse
That's Russell
commit.
Westbrook's team, by the way. Here's my favorite part of AAU, is that there's all these different teams that are sponsored by pros. Like, I know Kevin Durant has a team, and CP3 has a team, and I think like even Thaddeus Young has a team. And I always wonder, do these players just recruit guys and they're like, yeah, you know what? I see a lot of myself in his game. I want him playing for my AAU team. I always wonder how that works out, or if it's regional or stuff like that.
Yeah, I don't know how much they contribute, but it is cool that
they show up to the games.
Yeah, that they are a factor in it. I'm not saying they're a huge factor, especially when it's in season, but it seems like I've known a couple guys that have been on Team CP3, and for whatever reason, maybe this is more the case with Chris Paul's team, but he seems very hands-on, very active with that
it's
team.
Just five guards. They roll them out there. It's just fundamentals, right. Passing, a little bit of flopping in between.
Yeah, a lot of maybe losing your dribble in the fourth quarter of some big games. I don't want to... Who knows what's going on with Chris Paul right now? Maybe he's hurt. There's been a lot of rumors.
But I think he's hurt.
He was playing great at the start of the playoffs, so I'm not even taking shots. I'm more of a Chris Paul guy than a Chris Paul hater anyway. But getting back to Peach Jam, I think J.J. Starling, Kamari Land stock up. I think Kyle Flip, as expected, probably stock up. Maybe Justin Taylor, he can make cases stock down, and we can get to that in a little bit. But sticking with J.J. Starling, it seems like Syracuse has a realistic shot here, and it seems like he's going to be a top 25 player once Peach Jam is all said and done.
I saw that he did an interview with Mike McAllister about 2 weeks ago now, and he started taking some of these official visits. And Mike McAllister asked, how have the official visits shaped your outlook, and has it made things a little more clear of where you want to go? And JJ was pretty candid and said, to be honest, I think it's made it a little bit more difficult. It's clouded everything a little bit more. And if I'm a Syracuse fan, I think that might be a good thing. Because remember, it kind of felt like Syracuse was on the outside looking in for a little bit. And again, we don't know the exact details of everything, but maybe he did like Syracuse a little bit more. And maybe something like name, image, and likeness is going to be something that he can utilize to his advantage a little bit more as the hometown kid staying home. And he's got relationships within the community. They've watched him grow up and all that stuff in Baldwinsville. I'm excited about the possibility of it. And listen, this is a guards game now. We talked about this with Jeff Goodman. I know there's the big name out there with Kyle Flipp, and it was out there with Donovan Klingon before he committed to UConn. But if I had my pick of would I rather have a guard or a big, I think I would rather have a guard at this point.
Yeah, and I think Kyle Flipp, as we've talked about, is becoming less and less realistic. Now, I know a lot of fans are still holding out hope, and they'll probably push back, but when I see Duke crystal balls, and I see Duke at a lot of his games, and I see the way he's been playing and garnering that national attention, and Duke has been rumored for a while, and there's connections there, I'm just a little still hesitant to say that he is in Syracuse's crosshairs, or rather that, yeah, like he is thinking Syracuse is the school for him right now. It could change, but JJ Starling, I do feel like there's a realistic shot. It seems like Ohio State, Stanford, Syracuse are your top three right now, and then I put in the caveat that UNC and Duke appear to be ramping up their interest lately. Now, Duke has offered him. There wasn't a visit that followed that offer, though, so you don't know if J.J. Starling's planning on maybe visiting later, and I think if we see a Duke visit later on in his cycle, then that obviously becomes more of a worry that Duke could be grabbing J.J. Starling and pulling him away and making him a huge priority in their cycle. But as it stands right now, I feel like Maryland has sort of faded away, and Syracuse is really, if anything, rising in its rankings. And there's a reason why Jim Boeheim, GMAC, all these guys that are at Peach Jam, they're going to pretty much all of J.J. Starling's
all the coaches.
Games.
And it's not just we're sending Red there. We're sending GMAC. No, everyone's there. All four of them.
Yeah, and he's playing great basketball. I think he's a one-and-done prospect when it's all said and done. The way that he is getting national attention this week for his play, not just from local Syracuse people that are picking up on it, but he's been one of the best scorers at Peach Jam, and he can score from all three levels, and it seems like he probably has to tighten up his handle and do little things a little bit better, but I really feel like the more I study his game, the more I hear about his game, the more I hear about people that were at Peach Jam and following him and watching him, he could be a two right away, an undersized two maybe in the college game, or especially in the NBA, but it doesn't give me pause when I think that Copeland might be committing to Syracuse. I don't think that would deter J.J. Starling as much as I initially thought.
Hey, did you know that Built Bar has so many delicious flavors? There is literally a flavor for everyone, and when you talk to a Built Bar fan, they are always passionate about their faves. Mine, the peanut butter brownie. You've heard me talk about it for months now. And if you don't know the Built Bar flavors well, you are missing out. You can get anything from fruit flavors like cherry, barcia, and raspberry to some traditional chocolate ones like double chocolate or cookies and cream, German chocolate. And if you haven't tried all the flavors, you can get a mixed box as well where they'll give you two of each of the nine flavors. And not only are Built Bars the best tasting protein bars, but they're also healthy for you too. Just check out some of the stats here. 17 to 18 grams of protein and only 130 to 180 calories with only 4 to 5 grams of sugars to go with it. So order today and get the grasshopper cookie or raspberry or whatever you like. Built Bar is the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team as well. Go to built.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get 15% off your order. That's built.com, promo code LOCKEDON for 15% off your order. When I look at J.J. Starling too, between lighting it up on the AAU circuit and then going and playing at La Lu, this is a guy who could potentially be a McDonald's All-American when it's all said and done. I mean, the way that he's risen through the ranks and risen through the guard rankings as well. And I think adding that flexibility, again, when he was coming up, it kind of felt like it was a point guard was going to be his position, but now he's showing that positional flexibility off the ball, the ability to score as a two guard. And I think when you look at Syracuse and you look at the case of J.J. Starling, having that positional flexibility is very attractive. And listen, he's going to come to Syracuse. They're going to have a couple of guards on the way out, but Joe Girard is still going to be there for 1 year. If J.J. Starling can come in and start at the two for a year, and you mentioned you think he could be a one-and-done guy, and again, anyone in the top 50 can be a one-and-done guy. J.J. Yeah. Starling, obviously, to go all Isaiah Thomas, I met the criteria there, but I think that if he does come back for a second season, it'll work out pretty nicely for him. It's almost, it gives me a little bit of Tyus Battle vibes, where Tyus came in as a two, but you saw him handle the ball a lot more as he ended his Syracuse career. And part of that had to do with Frank Howard's injuries and absences. But I think another part of it was Tyus wanted to expand his game and get more of ball handling and point guard type of tendencies. And I think that's paid dividends for him in his professional career. He just signed in Italy. So I think that certainly helped him out a little bit too.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I think this 2022 class is shaping up to be very good, whether they get J.J. Starling or not. And I feel like they've got a decent shot and probably a little bit better odds than maybe they had a couple weeks ago. And it's a silly game to play, and we joke about it a lot, but I love to play the look ahead at what your roster is going to be when J.J. Starling comes. And I'm sure he's playing that game internally when he decides amongst the schools that are after him. But it is a really fun roster that could be shaping up in 2022. Buddy will not be on it. Jimmy will not be on it. Who knows about a couple other guys like Cole Swider and such, but Kamari Lands, Justin Taylor, maybe Copeland commits soon and you're sliding him into a Jesse Edwards front court that maybe he's a key contributor. Frank Anselm, hopefully still there and still a piece to that puzzle in the front court mix. Joe Girard coming back, which I know a lot of fans probably want to see big strides from Joe Girard before they get excited about him coming back for a senior season. But I like the way that this future is shaping up, and I really am circling that 2022 roster as this year is going to be fun, yes, and it's going to be fun to try and capitalize on Buddy's window here, but even post-Buddy, they had to capitalize on this 22 cycle, and they're really doing a great job so far at getting the guard position filled.
You mentioned how you talk about it and love playing the hypothetical roster game. You ready for a visual meme here? You ready for a visual meme?
Yep.
I always think of you as Charlie from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia when he's at the board doing with like his conspiracy. He's got the cigarette in one hand. Like that's what I see, Tim, when he's doing his 2022 roster construction and hypothetical
rosters.
It's
going to all be thrown out. Yeah, because like 8 months ago, I would have had Dior on that. Then I scratched his name off. And it's just, it's all moving
so quickly.
Took another
hit of the cigarette, and then he went back to the drawing board.
Yeah, Kadari was a focal point not that long ago, so who knows? But it's just, it's fun to play. I always fall into that trap.
So one of the other things I want to look at here, if you had to, listen, if you're Jim Boeheim, and let's say you had full czar powers here, and you got to pick, if this was a draft-style thing, if you had to rank out your top three of guys you would want to come to Syracuse right now, what would you be looking at? Because to me, I think Starling's number one on my list now, followed by Kyle Flipp, and then you get into maybe the Chance Westries. But it's probably one or two more guys in the class. But if you had to pick guys, if it was a draft as opposed to a recruitment, what would your 1-2-3 big board look like?
First off, excellent question. This is another fun thing to think about. I think I would flip Kyle Flipp and J.J. Starling, but it's very close for me. And it's getting closer as the game
passes. Yeah, I was going to say, it feels like the gap has closed for you because you, like even ask me a week ago, I probably would have had Kyle Flipp number one. But and I don't want to say that J.J. Starling has you should take his Peach Jam performances and solely base it off that. That's not what I'm saying here. What I'm saying is I've started to think about it a little bit more, and I think a guard wouldn't just behoove Syracuse, but it would help out more programs across the country. I mean, you look at Baylor and what they did at the guard position, and you look at a school like Gonzaga too. Those two teams were in the national championship, and you can say, oh, Drew Timmy this and Corey Kispert that and Jonathan Chamwa-Chachua this and Matthew Meyer were great. But those teams were so good with their guards. You had experience and you had young talent. And now you're looking at a team that's going to, each team is going to probably have a top 10 draft pick at the guard position.
Yeah, as Jim Boeheim joked with Brent Axe when he came on the show after the NCAA tournament, who was Baylor center? Who was Houston center? You don't even know, right. Brent. Like, that's not the way the game is shifting. I still am very bullish on Kyle Flipp and the potential he has, I would say, but it's getting closer, and I think it's worth recognizing that, well, J.J. Starling's had a great week, well, Kamari Lance has had a great week so far. Kyle Flipp has also really raised some eyebrows, I think, and played very nicely. And he's playing for arguably the best team in Peach Jam, New York Renaissance. So that team could win it all, and he could be playing very late in this tournament. But just his last game, there were reports that Kentucky was in the house to watch him. He went 4-for-4 from three in this last game, which he hasn't really been shooting the three a ton based on what I've been hearing and the stats that you can look at when you're tracking this stuff. But I mean, he went 4-for-4 in the last game, and it seems like he's just filling the stat sheet, doing little things for a very, very good EYBL team that he's on that could win the entire Peach Jam. So if anything, his stock's going to continue to rise as well.
Right. And again, if Kyle Filipowski committed to Syracuse tomorrow, I would be beyond thrilled because we haven't seen that big man type of play at Syracuse. I just... And listen, I don't want the 1-2-3 exercise here to be a, oh, what's likely. I want it to be like, what is the dream? What would be the best? And for me, it's Starling. For you, it's Flip. And listen, if we had flipped there, and if it was Starling for you and if it was Flip for me, I think both of us would kind of understand the argument either way.
Yeah.
But when you look at the guards and how guards have patrolled college basketball, it feels like J.J. Starling, another guy who's on the rise. And I want that trendy guard, that guy who can give you both on and off the ball play as well.
Yeah, and one last note from me on Peach Jam. I just want to recognize this. I'm not saying it's sound the siren alarms or anything, but I think we just talked about who's been playing well. And when you look at Justin Taylor's stats, specifically his three-point shooting stats, it's not great. Like, it's a little concerning, frankly, to someone like me. I don't know if others have different opinions, but just to give out the stats so far, he's played 7 games in the last 6 days, going back to Tuesday last week in Peach Jam, and he's 1-for-21 from three-point range. And that's pretty much his calling card, right? Like, he's billed as the best shooter in the class. I see those numbers. I don't know the ins and outs. I'm not at the games. I don't know how many of them have been late in the shot clock, how many of them have been just he's missing open looks that are going to start to fall. It's hard for me to really say, but I'm just presenting the numbers and saying a little concerned by that, and I don't think that we're going to see his stock necessarily or his rankings rise after numbers like that when that is pretty much his calling card, is three-point shooting.
Yeah, that is a little concerning. Even if you are having a bad game, bad week, bad tournament, you still don't usually see it get to that level where you're shooting under 5%.
Yeah, from three. And that's the thing. Shooters can go in slumps and they can break out of it really quickly. So maybe by the time someone's listening to this on Thursday and we just haven't caught up.
You might have like a 7-for-7 game.
Right. It's probably going to happen, and I'm not overly concerned. I just think it's worth bringing to people's attention that hadn't seen it.
Yeah, we're going to keep tracking Peach Jam throughout the week on the show. I believe the championships are this weekend, so you're going to have a lot of basketball this weekend between Peach Jam, Boeheim's Army, all that stuff. It's going to be a jam-packed hoops weekend. But coming up next, we're going to get into some football stuff. We're going to tell you everything you need to know about what we're doing for positional previews. That's coming up on the other side.
Before we start our football positional series, let's talk a little bit about betonline.ag, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action right now. Baseball season in full swing, NBA finals winding down, a lot of different stuff to bet on. UFC, MMA, always fun over the weekends. Maybe some of you had some McGregor money. Apologize if that was the case. But before the next game, the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Head to their website and make sure that once you go to their website and sign up for that free account, you type in our promo code. That is all one word, Locked On. It is a free promo code that gets you a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Again, that is Locked On, all one word, the name of this podcast network, for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you sign up for your free account today at betonline.ag.
All right, we're 7 weeks away now from the start of football season. And that means one thing and one thing only, Tim. On our program here, the Locked On Syracuse podcast, we get into our positional previews. And we're going to do things a little bit differently this time around because we're going to do things countdown style. What we're going to do, we're going to take a positional grouping each week and we're going to count down the five most important players at that position grouping. So Monday, you're going to get the fifth most important player, all the way down to Friday when we unveil our most important player. We're not saying best here, we're saying most important player at that position. So today, we're going to start with the pass catchers. That's going to be where we're leading things off, and then we'll unveil the different groupings each week. But our fifth most important pass catcher, and Tim and I have kind of compiled our own lists and taken the aggregate of it all to give you the comprehensive top five most important players at each position. So for the pass catchers, number five today is Courtney Jackson, slot receiver, probably going to be a starter for this Syracuse team. Hasn't played a whole heck of a lot, only played four games last year, 10 catches, 69 yards, no touchdowns last season, but I look at Courtney Jackson.
He had to
Jackson.
Play more than four games, right? Maybe he only caught a pass in four games?
That's what a sports reference says. Four games. So
he was out in the field for more than four, though. I mean, maybe at least he was. Unless I'm going crazy, yeah.
But anyway, 10 catches, 69 yards, not a lot of production last season. But what we have seen in the past is the importance of the slot position and how you have grown sometimes in year three as a slot receiver. And I look at going back to 2018, the 10-3 season, when Syracuse was having a ton of success. Sean Riley and Nykeem Johnson were 1-3 on the team in receptions. They were 2nd and 3rd in both yards and touchdowns, which is kind of interesting to think about because, remember, Syracuse was on the heels of back-to-back seasons where they had an All-American receiver, and they were both guys on the outside. And you thought Jamal Custis, he was going to be next in that department. And while Custis did lead the team in both yards and touchdowns, Riley and Nykeem Johnson were both very productive out of the slot and really let this offense become a possessional offense, one that could move the sticks and then beat you with the big play.
Yeah, we have not gotten much from the slot position recently, and it's a very interesting group this year because there is some talk and there is some hope amongst the fan base that maybe Taj Harris slides back to the inside or plays the inside slot position, and then you can feel comfortable enough to put in Alford or Quealy as your two outside receivers. We can talk about that as we progress with this series here, but specifically on Courtney Jackson, huge year for him. He just kind of a make or break year because to me, I was expecting a lot more last year. I was expecting a lot more, frankly, from the entire offense and the entire receiving corps, so maybe I shouldn't point too much blame at him. But there was a lot of talk about him in the 2019 training camp sort of portion that he was a breakout guy that really could be an immediate contributor. And we're sitting here 2 years into his career. One of them was a redshirt season, but he did catch a pass in that season. 2 years in, I think he's caught 11 passes. Last year alone, 10 for 69. That's just not very good. So if he is a starter, he's going to have to really progress and show me a lot more than he did last year.
I look at Courtney Jackson, and by the way, you were correct, all right? So he only caught passes in four games, but I believe appeared in all 11. So you were correct on that. But I look at, okay, so you take his PFF grade from last season, 47.9. That's the lowest of any pass catcher that's returning with at least three games played. And the third worst of any offensive player that Syracuse had last season with at least three games played. I don't need him to be a star. But no. I need to see improvement because I am not impressed with the depth at the slot receiver position. He doesn't have to be Taj Harris. He doesn't have to be Anthony Quealy. But he's going to be a starter on this team. And you need to see market improvement from what you've seen out of him the last two seasons. Because you're right. We've been told about the abilities with Courtney Jackson. You mentioned in training camp how he was wowing that 2019 season. And he made the big one-handed catch over Andre Sisco. But to me, I can hear all the buzz I want. That's just the kid who in school does his homework, but then fails the tests. At the end of the day, if you're going to go in and do your homework and try to boost your grade that way, okay, that's cool. But I need to see you do it in the games. I need to see you do it when the test is handed out. And we just haven't seen that out of Courtney Jackson these past couple of seasons.
Yeah, and again, you can say this about a lot of different receivers, but I don't even remember one memorable catch he's made in his Syracuse career so far. And he's very young. There's time. At least that's not a negative, I guess, because like I remember when Sherrod Johnson dropped a touchdown pass against UNC last year, and I remember when Sean Riley dropped a big touchdown pass against LSU. Like, he can get remembered for a negative thing. He's only dropped two passes, which, I mean, he saw 17 targets last year, 10 catches, two drops. So it's such a small sample size. But the weird thing is he's been playing in a lot of these games. He ran 125 routes last year, and he was only thrown towards his way 17 times for those 17 targets. So is that an indictment on the offensive line? Probably a little bit. Is that an indictment on DeVito? Probably a little bit. But it's also just him not really producing when he's out there, and he's going to have to produce this year because, well, the slot position is not great on paper. There's at least some versatility, some different options there. Pena is probably going to be in competition in camp to maybe get that starting spot. Javonte Williams has been turning some heads. Maybe you throw him into the slot. Again, I mentioned Taj Harris. So there's other ways to go that if he doesn't perform at a certain point, you're just going to want to say, all right, like, we gave you your shot, Courtney, but now you're a bench player.
So here's a little bit of trend here, maybe a hint for optimism. When you look at the careers of Sean Riley and Nykeem Johnson, and I know Nykeem really, really fell off after that 2018 season, but before that 2018 season where they go 10-3, Sean Riley in 2 years had 19 catches, 234 yards, no touchdowns. Very similar to what we've seen out of Courtney Jackson. Not a lot of production through the first two seasons, but then he explodes onto the scene in 2018, 64 catches, 756 yards, three touchdowns, and I also think he was a big reason why you saw a guy like Taj Harris thrive, because you saw Riley. He could do some of those things on screenplays. He could hit you up the seam as well. He did a lot of things, and I think that let Taj Harris get open underneath. And then you also look at someone else like Nykeem Johnson, who before 2018, it might even be a little bit closer here, but he had eight catches for 68 yards, no touchdowns. Literally a near mirror image of what Courtney Jackson has done before. And Nykeem, after that, kind of came into his own. 41 catches, 565 yards, four touchdowns to follow that up. So sometimes the slot position, maybe it's a learning thing, and you just need to get into the groove. And I think the quarterback play also matters, because we also have seen Nykeem Johnson drop off ever since he did that, and now he's obviously transferred out of the program. But to me, I also wonder, did Nykeem Johnson just take up a lot of space the last 2 years? And did that limit a guy like Courtney Jackson? Because really, Nykeem Johnson was unspectacular, but you could also flip it on me and say, you know what? If Nykeem was that bad and Courtney Jackson couldn't crack the field over him, there might be some problems at the slot position.
Yeah, at least Nykeem gave you that speed threat. I think he has a little bit more explosiveness than Courtney Jackson. Also, as a special teams guy, he was a very good contributor for a lot of years for Syracuse, so he had that piece to it. But specifically with receiving, you're right, he regressed. And really, well, the entire offense has regressed in coinciding with Nykeem Johnson's regression and the slot position regression. Courtney Jackson has had his opportunity again. Like, he was out there for a lot of last year, and we don't remember one play where he made a noticeable imprint on a game, which isn't really asking a ton, especially when you're down in games. You'd think that maybe you'd even get like an inflated stat total by getting a lot of passes thrown your way or something, but they just didn't look at him a lot, and he never really got open a lot. So the more we talk about this, I do feel like you can make a case he might be the fourth or third most important receiver on this team. We're not basing this off skill again, so right now, he's probably maybe not even top five skill-wise on this roster based on what we know and based on what we're hearing in camp. But I look at the slot position. Someone needs to solidify that slot position. And if Courtney Jackson does that, that could be very impactful for Syracuse's offense and the receiving corp as a whole.
And also think about offensive line-wise. If the offensive line is crumbling early on, can't get a lot going, you're going to need production in screens, and especially out of the slot, some quick slants, all that stuff. Courtney Jackson is going to be a very important player, and there's going to be a lot of very important pass catchers on this team. You're going to hear the names that we're going to be rolling out these next couple of days. They are going to need plenty of production from the slot. So Courtney Jackson, number 5 on our most important pass catchers. Again, we're giving you a new positional group every single week. Stay tuned. Be sure to hit that subscribe button because we're going to give you number 4 on tomorrow's show. We're going to count them all the way down. There's 5 days in the week. We're giving you the top 5 most important at each position for the remainder of the summer because we're now 7 weeks away from the start of football. Can't believe we're this close, right around the corner. So that's going to do it for today's episode. Tomorrow on the show, we'll get into some more hoops thoughts, maybe some Boeheim's Army as well. And then you heard it. We're going to give you the 4th most important pass catcher that Tim and I have cooked up here in our rankings ahead of this 2021 season. So for Tim, I'm Tyler. We will talk to you guys tomorrow.